I'll kick it off, and going to say thanks very much for being here today. And it's great to be joined by Fruit Growers Tasmania, the Tasmanian Agricultural Productivity Group, Wine Tasmania, and some key representatives from agriculture and horticulture and wine industry here in Tasmania. And today is a special day because I'm pleased to announce a $1.9 million package over 2 years to support our agriculture, horticulture and wine sector here in Tasmania. It's because of COVID-19, and we're responding as a government, working in partnership with key stakeholders in this sector, and we're delivering to meet the needs of that industry and those industries across the state. In terms of the seasonal workforce, there are high demands, particularly during spring, summer and autumn, and in that December to March period we have identified a need of up to 5,000 extra jobs that we want to ensure are available to pick the fruit, produce the vegetables and pack those products and then get them to market. So this agribusiness workforce resilience package, that's what it will do. There's some key components of that agribusiness workforce resilience package. It includes an advertising and education and awareness campaign working with the industry to find Tasmanians. This is a Tasmania first package. We want Tasmanians in these jobs to meet that need of 5,000 extra jobs that will be needed to pick the fruit, harvest the vegetables and get it to market. So in addition to that, we've provided funding support for those key stakeholders that are with me today, a strategic industry partnership program, working together in terms of training, skills development, education and awareness. In addition to that, there will be a 1800 farm point number, a one-stop shop for those that need the service and support of the workforce to do the job. In addition to that, Safe Farming Tasmania will have a boost to provide COVID-friendly advice, COVID-safe advice for those businesses, whether it be in the wine sector, in the fruit sector, agriculture sector, wool, dairy sector, wherever the need is, that advice will be available. So it's really pleased and proud to be working with the partners here today to say that we want to get the job done as a government to ensure that you can grow local, harvest local and buy local. We say, Tasmanians, get out there and do the job. We're backing you.
What about providing potential pickers with some sort of subsidy or relief if they have to give up JobKeeper or JobSeeker, for example?
Well, we're certainly providing the support that we believe is necessary to get Tasmanians into work to meet this workforce gap, particularly over the December to March period of a peak up to 5,000 jobs that will be needed. We are saying Tasmanians first, so we'll be providing funding support for advertising, for registration of those needs, working with the industry, whether it's in skills development, training development, education and awareness, of course.
How can you incentivise locals?
Well, the incentives are there, working with the partners with me today from fruit, agriculture, across the board, where we'll provide funding support for transport, for training, skills development, and to get the job done. So that's our plan, and it's Tasmania's first. That's the plan.
Well, growers say.
Sorry, just go again. Oh, well, this will support across the board, the wine industry, the fruit industry, agriculture, obviously the wool sector as well. This is designed to meet the need. We've done the survey over the last many weeks and we've identified 4,700 jobs gap that is required. Because of COVID-19, those people will not be here otherwise, and so we're saying Tasmania first. We want Tasmanians in these jobs, and this will of course give those opportunities for Tasmanians and their families to have those jobs.
Growers say that locals don't want to give up JobSeeker for a short period like 6 weeks of picking.
We've had ongoing discussions with our federal and state and territory counterparts. Those discussions will be ongoing with respect to JobSeeker, JobKeeper, those programs, and those discussions are ongoing. What we can do here in Tasmania is work with our partners to to deliver the incentives, to deliver the training, to deliver the transport costs to get people to those jobs so that people can earn money and provide for their families.
Do you think there's been a bit of a cultural problem about Tasmanians wanting to work in these kinds of industries?
Well, across the board, the industry representatives that are here with me today, we're on the same team. It's Team Tasmania. We want Tasmanians in these jobs. That's our top priority, and we're going to add that incentive, a $1.9 million incentive over 2 years to get Tasmanians into those jobs. You can see that the business confidence is the highest in Tasmania across all of Australia here in Tasmania. That's because we have business-friendly policies on behalf of the Gutman Liberal government. So we're trying to deliver. We want that culture to be, let's get out there, have a go, get a job, provide for our families, and that's what we'll be doing.
So a key part of it is an advertising campaign. It's going to be a hard sell.
A key part is, you'll see over coming weeks, an advertising campaign, an education campaign. We're very confident, working with the partners behind me. I've already announced the establishment of a round table, agribusiness workforce round table. We'll be working together, looking at these issues, putting the challenges and problems on the table, working them through with government, across government, not just my department. And we'll be assessing and all those concerns and addressing those workforce needs and dealing with them as we go through to that peak period of December through to March.
What in terms of support, I guess, this type of industry, is that what the industry wants and needs?
Well, from what we're hearing, we've developed the package in consultation with the industry representatives behind me. And today that we're standing shoulder to shoulder to get the job done. We know there's a need. We've done the assessment. There are challenges. There are concerns as a result of COVID-19. The world has changed. We are adapting. We are being flexible. This is the new normal, and we have to deliver. We have to get this product to market. So we're saying it's going to be grown local. It'll be harvested local. We want to buy local, and we want Tasmanians. We want locals in these jobs.
What are the chances of a travel bubble with somewhere like Vanuatu or somewhere in the Pacific Islands?
Well, our first priority is Tasmanians. Tasmanians, Tasmanians, Tasmanians for these jobs. That's our top priority. Now, in due course, we'll be assessing the needs on an ongoing basis, monitoring this carefully through the round table, as I say, working together with the partners. And we'll be talking to our state and territory counterparts. There's a harvest trail down the east coast of Tasmania, and if there's a need to pursue that in due course, we'll consider that, ensure all those protocols are in place, but our first priority is Tasmanians. Well, the Premier's made it very clear that we've got incentives in place for Tasmanians to get out and about, enjoy this most beautiful part of Australia. In fact, it's the most beautiful part of all of the globe. And we want Tasmanians to enjoy it, get out and about. That's why those incentives are in place, and the vouchers have been made available for Tasmanians to do exactly that.
Are you concerned that China's anti-dumping investigation into Australia?
It'll have a very minimal impact, almost no impact here in Tasmania, because over 95% of our wine production is consumed here in Australia in a domestic capacity. So it's not a concern in that regard. But of course, we have a Tasmanian trade strategy in place, and that absolutely notes that China's an important trade partner. It is, but we also have plans to make sure that we have grow those export markets and diversify those markets in the months and years ahead. Yes, there will be support available for transport services to get people to the jobs as required. That's part of the package, but exactly how that will roll out will be decided by the round table and discussions with my department, with the partners that are here with me today in agriculture, wine industry, fruit growing industry. And we're going to design the package that's such that it will meet the needs of those workforce requirements.
Mark Cable, Chairman of TAPG. TAPG, we're a lobbying group, basically focusing on post-farm gate sector. in the state for all the major horticultural companies in Tasmania. Look, we're very concerned with the border closures, and obviously with the announcement this morning from the minister, it's probably come at good timing, because we're very concerned about what's going to happen in the coming months.
What are your major concerns?
Well, obviously, major concerns are people. As the minister said, recognised there's going to be a shortage of between 4,000 and 5,000 workers.
Do you think this $1.9 million package is enough to help the sector?
There's a lot to work out as yet, and it's only hot off the press, so we're not really sure how it's going to help. But look, any work towards getting more local workers in the workforce will definitely be a positive. So we're all for it.
What are the specific problems?
Look, obviously at the moment we've got the issue of job seeker and job keeper, and obviously that's a bit of an issue at the moment, and obviously, as the minister said, they're working on that to make hopefully be a bit more flexible in that. My own business, Harvest Moon, the bulk of our workforce are locals. At critical times of the season, we've got to bring extra workers in to finish the season off. Look, the issue is in some of the more remote areas and getting people to work. Might be an issue as far as transport goes and accommodation goes. Look, we'd like to think that people's there, and we just got to entice them to get them out of the house and get them to the farms.
And if we can't do that, what happens?
If we can't do that, well, there's going to be a lot of disappointment in our industry. There'll be a lot of crops that won't be picked.
Sherry Lee Davies, I'm the chief executive at Wine Tasmania.
So we've had a little bit more time to consider these border closures. How's the wine industry feeling?
Yeah, I think we now have a bit more of a date and a bit more ability to plan for exactly what's going to happen. I think, like many others, we were until recently fairly optimistic that we may have had the chance to welcome visitors for summer. Obviously, that's now looking a little less likely. So for our wine businesses, it really is just thinking about what they do, how they, change their offering so that it very much is something that our locals would love to enjoy and to experience. We've already been going through a bit of a process whereby there are these really tailored offerings so that people can book and come in, and it's a behind-the-scenes local experience of wine in Tasmania. So I think there's a lot of scope for that to continue to be expanded over the coming months, and the incentives that people have to get out into our regional areas. That's exactly where our cellar doors are located, so we're seeing that as a positive thing.
How big of an impact would the Chinese ban on wine be for Tasmania?
I think everyone's hoping and expecting it's not going to get to anything as major as a ban. There's obviously a process that needs to be gone through at the national level. The Australian wine sector is certainly part of those discussions. China's a very important trading market for the country as a whole. I think about 40% of Australia's wine finds its way into that market. For Tasmania, we really have a domestic market focus, but of course we're all part of the Australian wine sector, so we're keeping a close eye on that, but I think there's still some time to unfold, and hopefully it's all resolved and we continue to be the strong trading partners we have been.
Do you know what the numbers are, the Chinese market for Tasmania wants to go out there, or is it Australia-wide? Is it more focused on Australian rather than Tasmania?
Oh, definitely. So it's far more focus on interstate companies, and as I understand it, the larger of those companies, and I don't think there's going to be any impact on Tasmania at all at this point in time, but we'll keep a close eye on things.
Where else does Tasmanian wine exported out? Are there any other big markets?
Yeah, look, there's probably no big markets, I guess. So 95% of our wine sold in the domestic market, that absolutely is our focus. Our three largest markets in terms of that 5% that we do export is the US, the UK, and then China, as far as those markets are concerned. But it is a very modest percentage overall of our production. So we have been keen to make sure that we obviously diversify our markets, and we've spent a lot of time focusing on the cellar door experience, of course, and trying to get people here to Tasmania. So we just need to adjust to that.
Do you think this package announced this morning supports?
Yeah, absolutely. The seasonal workforce thing, we perhaps have a slight advantage in that we're not really going to need our seasonal workforce to come until we start the harvest. So we're talking about basically the end of February. So some of our colleagues in the fruit sector have needs that are earlier than that. So I think we're all trying to work together to see if there's a way that we can hopefully train and incentivise and support Tasmanians in these jobs and take them from our sector to the next and share that as much as we possibly can. So it will be important and it will be significant. We just have the benefit of a slightly more time.
Obviously, COVID has had a strong effect on a lot of industries. What shape is the Tasmanian wine industry in overall?
Look, there is no question that it has had a devastating impact on so many businesses. For wine, I guess our key customers have been traditionally visitors to our cellar doors and visitors to restaurants, both in Tasmania as well as around the country. So you can understand, with restrictions on both of those, the impact has been very severe. That being said, when you grow grapes in a climate like Tasmania, you need to be prepared and resilient. You need to understand that every single season is going to be different and that you might get a frost, you might get something that is of natural occurrence that you need to deal with that could devastate your crops for that year. So I guess whilst it's challenging times, a lot of wine businesses and wine growers are used to needing to be resilient. I think the pressure for us, to be honest, is probably going to be coming into next harvest. So if we do see income through those main sale channels continue to be very slow, and then we have to start incurring the expenses that come with the harvest, that really is when the pressure, I think, is going to hit for us. Sort of March, April is probably what we're now trying to turn our heads to and think about what we can do to try and mitigate some of those impacts.
Howard Hanson, Vice President of Fruit Growers Tasmania.
What's your reaction to this morning's announcement?
Well, we're obviously very nervous about the upcoming harvest season, so any funding that's going to assist in help solve the seasonal worker problem, we welcome with open arms. We don't know if it's going to be enough. We don't know enough about the situation yet. I think what the Minister's outlined today is that as a government they're prepared to adapt, improvise and try and overcome the problem to assist the industry.
What's the overall feeling within the industry?
Oh, we're obviously very nervous. There's a couple of issues. Obviously seasonal labour is a key one, and the other one that's of concern particularly to the cherry industry is air freight space to be able to get the product to market. Cherries are harvested start in late December and generally run through to about the middle of February.
So that's not too far away. What are the major concerns
with freight? Well, all Tasmanian product is exported in the past has been air freighted, so it's always travelled in the bellies of passenger flights. Obviously at the moment there's next to no passenger flights, so there's very limited air freight space available. Well, as the Minister outlined this morning, a survey of various industries has outlined that there's a shortfall of up to 5,000 people for the summer period. And so the funding that's been outlined today is to assist in attracting more local people to try and fill some of those 5,000 jobs.
What are the, I suppose, issues you've had in the past years in attracting locals?
Well, the biggest issue in attracting locals is for them to be attracted to the short period of work that is often available. Many, many industries are only harvesting for 4 or 5 weeks at a time, and we quite often see that it's Tasmanians find it not worth their while to lose their access to their job seeker benefits to then take that short period of work. So we'd be calling on the federal government at this period of time to allow people on JobSeeker to earn up to $10,000 without affecting their JobSeeker payments.
Just turning that on its head, what are the benefits of working for those 4 or 5 weeks?
Well, obviously it's a great part of the year, so it's a warm time of the year. We're talking about work that's outside, that's safe, so in a clean outside environment. It's enjoyable work. It's not particularly the work in the berry sector and the fruit sector. It's not heavy work. It really is work that can be done by virtually anyone of any age and any skill level. So it can be on-the-job training. We're not up ladders. We're not carrying heavy weights. So it is quite attractive work for a number of people.
Thank you.